The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Zay Flowers, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here, of course, with the Trash Man, as we continue to break down the fantasy fallout from the NFL draft. As we were discussing before we got on, well, having to take Big Felix from K-State, now in Kansas City, took him over Lucas Van Ness in one of our deep dynasty IDP leagues. Feel good about it. I think there's maybe 2% of our audience that gives a shit about IDP. But anyway, talking about that,
and even fewer who play in the kind of league we probably.
Nobody plays in the kind of messed up league that is, dude. That Matt Deutsch cooked up. Like what they do in that league is it's all these producers and Deutsch and like all the guys from Sirius or I guess Deutsch isn't with Sirius anymore. Half those guys aren't even with Sirius anymore, right? Mm. Nick Costos and all these. And they just make up new damn rules every year and all get together and vote on them. And we don't pay any attention to what the new scoring settings are, man. It's like that. I can't believe how we're – this must be just Jalen Hurts just dragging us along in that league for sure, man. I'm not sure how we finished so well last year where we got such a crappy pick this year. I look at that team. It's tough. We'll be getting Javonte Williams back.
The defense is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's by making those kinds of picks, man. King Felix is going to be stepping into a big role right off the bat. I'm not sure the same can be said about Lucas Van Ness, who didn't start a single game last year, but certainly very athletic. All right, we're going to break down the AFC North and the AFC West today as we continue through this stuff. Just a quick reminder, we do have I just got a note, actually, in Slack. We just now got up version 1.2. So we're already version 1.2 of the Dynasty Rookie cheat sheets. As I've done a couple of Dynasty Rookie drafts on my own, I've noticed some things and some ways that I want to draft that the cheat sheet might not have been suggesting at first. Just a couple changes in a couple different spots. So those have been updated. Trashman is in the process of continually updating the Dynasty Top 250 for startups. Over at rosterwatch.com, and we're up to version now number 2.1 of the Underdog Best Ball cheat sheet.
I wanted to ask you real quick, does Randall Cobb deserve to be in the top 250?
No. Randall Cobb sure made a good ass friend in Aaron Rodgers, didn't he?
I guess so.
He might have
something on Aaron. He might be holding something over his head.
Picture, yeah, some kind of creepy pictures.
Yeah.
Lord knows Aaron Rodgers could have some creepy pictures in his past.
Yeah, I can guarantee it.
All right. Oh, and Trashman, did you see the news report that came out from what is it, KCPRO or something down there in Houston about
Tank Dell?
KPRC Channel 2 with the report they had from yeah, the story was C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell. Apparently, after C.J. Stroud was taken, on day two, C.J. Stroud FaceTimed Tank Dell. And he's like, yo, dog, I told him I got to have you. We're going to take you here. And like a minute later, he gets the phone call saying they listen. They took him and they took him in the third round of the draft. In the future, QB wide receiver duo will be the future for years to come.
Hey.
I said I wrote on Twitter. I said, "How does the trash man always know? What the hell, dude?" Yeah, dude, they definitely think pretty high of your boy Nathaniel. Your boy Nathaniel Dell. All right, let's get to the AFC North. If you want to listen back to the AFC South and the AFC East, you can listen back to the last podcast Next two, we'll be doing AFC South and AFC East, finishing it off with, I'm sorry, NFC South and NFC East, finishing it off with NFC North and NFC West. So today, starting out in the North, Baltimore. So Baltimore goes Zay Flowers in the first round of this draft. And other than that, not much from a fantasy perspective for us to talk about, except for, you know, no adding any extra running backs, nothing like that. Things are looking up for J.K. Dobbins in that sense. My deal was this, dude, at the draft, and I probably got I got more shit, trash man, for a take I had at the NFL draft when I was at the player profiler house that they put out as like a meme, you know, like a quote tweet thing. Mm-hmm. Where I just said that this is a swindle for Zay Flowers. This isn't good. You know, like, it's going to be a glorified Devin Duvernay. I understand. I talked about how it's a new offensive coordinator, right? I know it's Todd Monken, and it's not, you know, it isn't a Roman deal anymore. With that being said, does it not seem to you that, like, does nobody understand that when Lamar Jackson is such a good runner, you like J.K. Dobbins, he's going to be a good runner. There's going to naturally be a slight lack of passing volume to the outside wide receivers whenever there's just the running to be contended with. But also, man, Mark Andrews, who he loves to throw to, is going to be a target share monster. And I love Isaiah Likely, and I think that he's going to continue to kind of be – that team's built to where Lamar Jackson can run on his own. They can hand the football off. They can throw to the tight ends. And now you're talking about Zay Flowers as being in a newly crowded wide receiver room with Rashad Bateman coming back and Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
It's a swindle. People are just like, you don't get it. It's like, that's what do you mean I don't get it? This is my job to think about this stuff. You know, they're just like, tell me you don't know about what's going on with the Ravens without telling me you don't know what's going on with the Ravens. I was just like, are you serious? Like, I understand it's a new offensive coordinator. But, doesn't this feel like kind of a sting as far as a landing spot? Like, as a guy who took Zay Flowers in one of these leagues where I have to draft before the NFL draft, I didn't feel good about it. You know, I didn't feel good about it.
Especially when you have two tight ends like Likely and Andrews, and then you have, yeah, it's just too many targets to go around. Yeah, but that would be difficult on any team, really, if you had that many viable pass catchers.
He stays in the top four of dynasty rookie picks, I think, just based on the pure talent alone. I mean, we're talking about an AB level talent, and sometimes those guys can overcome these situations. Who knows what Odell Beckham has in the tank? Rashad Bateman has proven he has a hard time staying healthy, right? I mean, there are clear pathways to where you could see, you know, if Zay Flowers is the guy who stays healthy out of all these dudes, you know, he's definitely a very rich man's version of one of these, you know, Tylan Wallace, James Prochet types of situations we saw last year, right? Whenever everybody was hurt. But I just think you're counting on a lot of things happening that may or may not happen with Zay Flowers. As far as J.K. Dobbins, where do you see him now on the whole landscape? Like, would you rather have J.K. Dobbins in best ball for next year? Would you rather have Miles Sanders on that nice new contract with the Carolina Panthers?
I still think I'd probably like Dobbins there. I just think Dobbins is a better player than Sanders. And I think that offense is – at least we have some idea of what that offense might look like. Carolina, I mean, I wish all the best for Bryce Young. I still don't know what that offense is going to look like.
It's going to look better. Bryce Young's a G.
Yeah. Better. He's a 5'10 G.
Yeah, sometimes G's are 5'10", man. You got to take them as they come. They only make so many of these guys who can do this at this level, dude. Like,
you think Miles Sanders is a better pure runner than Dobbins?
No, I don't. I think Dobbins is a better pure natural runner. I think Miles Sanders is more well-rounded, perhaps a tiny bit more athletic, but I don't think he's a better pure runner. He certainly has done that. I mean, with Miles – No. I mean, with J.K. Dobbins, we used to say, like, we're talking Larry Johnson stuff here.
Yeah. You
know? Okay. Let's move on to the Bengals, because here's another question. J.K. Dobbins or Joe Mixon? That's where Joe Mixon is beginning to fall now in these early drafts. But not much done in this draft that makes you too particularly worried about Joe Mixon. The reports have come out since as well from the coaching staff and from GM or whatever. I don't know. Do they even call Duke Tobin the GM? Is he executive vice president of personnel? Whatever it is. From Duke Tobin saying, you know, he likes Mixon. They're going to need him.
You get three strikes in Cincinnati, I guess.
Well, counting the first one?
Yeah.
I mean,
so
yeah.
He's got one left.
Yeah, he's going on strike four here. Let's see. So the draft picks by team here. I'll just pull up the ESPN deal to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. All right, so Cincinnati, they go Miles Murphy to start, of course. And then, well, we got to talk about Charlie Football in the fourth round. Charlie Jones from Purdue.
You don't think Chase Brown poses any threat to Mixon?
No, I think that Chase Brown is and you know what? Chase Brown's going to need to get a lot better in pass protection before he even poses a threat to that role that Samaje Perine had last year. Do you remember how bad he was in pass pro?
Yeah.
Like he's going to need to pick that up. The reason why I was saying that Roschon Johnson would have been such a good pick there would have been, man, he's just so good at pass pro. He shows up as a supercharged Samaje Perine at the very least. And if time is to be missed by Joe Mixon for any reason, he's a guy who's capable of being a, you know, more of a high efficiency yield handcuff than we would generally think for some of these other guys that are in these kinds of roles. So I was thinking that Roschon was going to be that pick there in the third round for them. Instead, they elected to go with Jordan Battle, the safety out of Alabama. But then they did take Charlie Jones out of Purdue, Charlie Football, who we liked him on his evaluation. I think he led the FBS in receptions last year. I was reading on the Athletic just earlier today about how the Bengals scouting staff, whenever they went to Purdue to go do some of the scouting stuff, they heard about how, you know, Charlie Jones, of course, was a transfers in there for a final year, gets in a house with Aiden O'Connell and just moves a whiteboard right into the middle of the living room, right? So he's one of these guys that wants a whiteboard in the middle of the living room. He's Charlie F at football, dude. Super fast at the combine. I think he ran a 4.43. Do you have our rookie eval sheet pulled up?
He ran a 4.43.
Okay, so I want to make sure I'm not messing up on any of this stuff. But he is going to be 25 this year, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so older guy, but super productive. 4.43. To me, it's like he could be a Tyler Boyd replacement easily. I'm not saying he has to play out of the slot, but he easily could. Charlie Football has been going in the third round of my Superflex tight end premium dynasty drafts that I'm in right now with sharp players. I mean, I was just in a draft where actually it was in the fourth round where Curtis Patrick took him. Curtis is a real sharp player. I was hoping Charlie Football would fall to me. I think in some of the sharper leagues, people are starting to kind of take him at the tail ends of these drafts. And I think it's a good idea. I was tilted that I couldn't get him. But yeah, I think the biggest news, Mixon, I don't feel like Chase Brown is that big a, if he's there, I don't think it hurts him. I think that this hurts maybe some of the backups that they have there. I can't believe I'm going to forget. Was it Chris Evans? Who's one of them? Yeah. So Chris Evans and Travion Williams I believe is still on the roster. It certainly hurts those guys, you know, but I'm not sure if, you know, I think that the whole Chase Brown thing is a play for the future and maybe not a play for the immediate term. All these guys are. But here's the other thing. Everybody thought they were going to take a tight end.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
I think, yeah, maybe it's Irv Smith is the lead that's been buried here.
Dude, it hasn't been buried on the best ball cheat sheet. He is an excellent pick. And like the 15th round is your second or third tight. Like if you get an early tight end, you just hold out for – and you don't want to pay it for one of these middling kind of sexy names like a Chig Okonkwo, right? Just hold out for Irv. Like he's a perfect life preserver, great offense, awesome talent. Do you have the rookie 250 pulled up? Or I'm sorry, the startup 250 pulled up?
Yeah.
Irv's on there, right? Did you get?
Yeah, he's on there.
How old is he going to be this year?
Because
he came in young. Is he just going to be 25?
Let me adjust this by name. He will be 25, yeah.
I don't think he's even 25 yet. So, I think that's a big takeaway from the Bengals draft is Irv Smith and the fact that they didn't feel like they had the need to go elsewhere. All right, so who's next? What is this? I guess BC. So, Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Okay, so Cleveland get their first pick in the third round here, and they go ahead and take Cedric Tillman, who was injured most of all last season. Did have a big 2021 year at Tennessee, and a guy who a lot of people thought had some. I mean, I know that there was one mock that I saw that had Cedric Tillman going with the last pick of the first round to the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, that didn't end up happening. As the Chiefs, as we talk about, went with King Felix, but. Other than that, not much from a fantasy perspective.
You don't think Zach Evans?
What?
Zach Evans?
Zach Evans went to the Rams. Right? Zach Evans is a Ram. Is he labeled as Cleveland somewhere where you're looking? Don't tell me I'm having a brain aneurysm on air here, trash man. I mean, Zach Evans is backing up.
For some reason, I thought he went to the Browns.
No, so he goes to the Rams. So, yes, the fact that they didn't take a running back, even in the absence of Kareem Hunt, that's a big deal considering, that's a big deal for Nick Chubb, who's going earlier and earlier and earlier in the underdog best ball drafts. It's a big deal for Jerome Ford to some degree as a guy who you can take as an 18th round handcuff in these early underdog drafts and somebody who you want to have in dynasty. Should you have Nick Chubb? I feel like we talk about the high efficiency yield handcuffs at this point with the lack of other options that the Browns have on their roster. Let me just look and see who else they even have, because we know that D'Ernest Johnson is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. So on the roster, they also, oh God, so, dude, we're talking Dimitri Felton, who's a slot wide receiver, John Kelly, who I can't believe is still even in the league, and Nate McCrary, a street free agent. So if anything were to happen to Nick Chubb, we would be looking at the 2022 fifth rounder, Jerome Ford, who was probably a lot better than that selection. One of the guys that Byron loved most in that draft. Trashman, I know you and I came away from the Senior Bowl not too over the moon with Jerome Ford. We tended to come out of there a lot happier with Damian Pierce, Rashad White, so that's a hard group to stick out from whenever you see those guys catching the football so well and everything. Some inside runners like Jerome Ford aren't going to stand out in the kind of Senior Bowl setting the same way that those guys could.
Do you feel like Elijah Moore is dead in the water in Cleveland?
No, I think what about Donovan Peoples-Jones?
He was already on the come up.
What do you mean he was already on the come up?
Last season.
Yeah, I mean, all right. But he's
as far as being fantasy relevant.
Right. Well, he's out after 20. Like he's an unrestricted free agent after this season. Cedric Tillman's the DPJ replacement. I mean, very simple, right?
Seems like him.
Well, he looks like DPJ, similar kind of guy. So I think that's the play there with Cedric Tillman. Who else do we have left in the AFC North here? We went
Pittsburgh,
Baltimore, Cincinnati. Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh. So we have they go. At the very beginning, they go offensive line with Broderick Jones. Then they get Joey Porter Jr. with the first pick of the second round, somebody who a lot of people thought they might take at number 19 overall. The only real fantasy relevant thing here, I think, is Darnell Washington. And he's the tight end out of Georgia, trash man that tested like an absolute stud.
Yeah.
Giant. I mean, if you read about the way that they talk about him, he walks into a room, he's just a massive human. He doesn't look like anybody else who you'd ever see. And his testing was, fourth or fifth best, at the whole combine, if you size adjust it. I mean, the guy ran a 4.64 or something. It's just an unbelievably athletic big guy, but they kind of, Mike Tomlin said, like, he wears this, you know, he's got like a bumper sticker on him that says like six offensive linemen.
Right.
And I don't think he needs to. Yeah. And they're talking about how whether or not, and then you say people in the Pittsburgh beat, if you listen to, I can't believe I'm such a sicko. I listen to Pittsburgh Steelers podcast. it's really, but people like, you got such an easy job. I'm like, well, I do, but I mean, I got to sit around and listen to the Steelers podcasts all day. But anyway, what these guys are saying is they're like, their big debate is who's the number one blocking tight end on the depth chart now? Is it Darnell Washington or is it Zach Gentry? Is what they're saying. To me, it feels like it's, you know, you spend third round capital on Darnell Washington.
Yeah, why would you draft that guy?
Yeah. And here's the other thing about him. He's going to catch some touchdowns. He's too big and too fast not to. He's going to take some of those red zone looks off of Pat Freiermuth's plate. He's just going to.
Yeah, which he's 6'7".
Yep. Is he 6'7"? Jesus.
I think he's 6'7".
He looks that. Dude, he's a giant. Just a giant. And he's fast. He's just a different – he's a different kind of human being, trash man. It's like a different kind of dude. But yeah. So, but dude, I also think it's good for Najee Harris, because what is Najee Harris like? When does that guy get in trouble? That guy gets in trouble when they're trying to run the outside zone and they're trying to run a 2-3 technique and let him get a key off that, and he bounces outside and stuff. If there's a good physical presence out there on the edge to curl that thing in. Yeah. It's going to help him get to that edge and get a feel. I think schematically it makes sense that Najee Harris could get an uptick from this, just from a real football perspective, and henceforth, I think henceforth now that he's here in Pittsburgh, something that could be valuable for him just from a pure X's and O's standpoint.
So you're back on the Najee Harris train?
More than I was last year. They haven't done anything. And I don't buy all this Jaylen Warren stuff. There's no reason to play him. Najee's good. And I really like this addition for Najee. All right, let's see. The AFC West, the first one here is I'm looking. No. Okay, so first one is Denver. All right, so we have – the first pick of the Sean Payton era goes to Margin Hooks trained at Sky's the Limit in Waco, Texas, one Mr. Marvin Mims from Oklahoma. I talked about it on the draft podcast. I wish that he would move to my neighborhood and be my next door neighbor so I could ask him to help me come wrangle chickens at the end of the day whenever I need to put him back in the coop. Short area quickness. Burst.
Only in hill country.
short area quickness. Burst. Dude, a lot of these ex-NFL players move out to the hill country, trash man. It's going to be hard for my son to get on a football field come high school. what I was saying about the whole chicken wrangler thing is short area quickness. Burst. He can go side, you know what I'm saying? Lateral agility, side to side stuff, jitterbug. He's just and I just thought it was interesting. It's like the first pick of the Sean Payton era is Marvin Mims. And this comes on the heels of the fact that they picked up the fifth year option for Jerry Jeudy. They're getting Tim Patrick back. Who knows what's happening with Courtland Sutton? They haven't given much lip service to Greg Dulcich. They brought in Adam Trautman. I don't know what they're doing, and I'm not exactly
KJ
sure.
KJ Hamler.
Well, it's the end of Hamler.
I mean, that's what you would think.
But Hamler was a pick of the old regime. And I kept trying to rag my brain and think about who's the Sean Payton Marvin Mims. It's a good thought experiment. I'm not sure who that is.
I think it's
5'11", 183.
Probably Hamler.
No, the Sean Payton one from the Saints.
Oh.
Who is it?
Maybe it was who's –
It's tough. There's not anybody that comes immediately to mind.
The Callaway, maybe?
No, come on. He's not like a Callaway. Callaway's a little bit bigger, more, you know, could drape over you with his arms and stuff. I don't know. I don't know what the pick is. I don't know why they did it, but, you know, it's like, I think it's at least interesting. And I think at Dynasty Rookie Drafts, he becomes an interesting guy to look at whenever you get to that spot. I mean, I wouldn't take Jaden. You know, I wouldn't take him above, you know, Jaden Reed or one of these guys. I'd probably still take Jonathan Mingo over him.
Was Peyton there when Dallas when Cole Beasley was?
I don't know. I'd have to go look and see if that all intersects. Cole Beasley, by the way, just moved in next street over. So I got his son is my son's exact age and is in his class. So good luck being the slot wide receiver to my kid. Okay.
They might need fullbacks.
They're going to go back to that at Lake Travis. Who's next up? Okay, so KC. So we mentioned earlier they go King Felix with their first pick, but with the second pick, we get some actual fantasy relevant stuff here, and I think he falls right in line there with that Marvin Mims, Jonathan Mingo, that area of these drafts, even Jaden Reed maybe ahead of him. I wouldn't do it, but Rashee Rice, hand requested by Patrick Mahomes. Now,
I like Rashee Rice. I always have.
I hate Patrick Mahomes, the GM. I hate the guy who says, go get me Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Do you know who's a better GM than Patrick Mahomes?
Most of them.
Kyler Murray, who did he want? Oh, he wanted Creed Humphrey. They said no. He wanted Tristan Wirfs. They said no. They finally, this year, just gave him his offensive tackle that he wanted. They should have done it the whole damn time.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes is out here throwing out that he wants Clyde and he wants Rashee Rice. But Mahomes did work out with Rashee Rice. He works out with all those guys at Always Open up there at MJ. Michael Johnson Performance up there in Plano, just north of Dallas. He's with those guys all the time. So he has the one-on-one relationship with him already. I think that it's an interesting fit. You know, it is people say it's a crowded wide receiver room there for Kansas City, but there are just a bunch of warm bodies, but yeah. No, these guys are any good. I mean, they don't want to play Justin Watson. Marquez Valdes-Scantling just sucks. They don't want to play this guy, you know. They're going to see what they have in Sky Moore. They're going to see what they have in Kadarius Toney. But there's plenty of room for a guy like Rashee Rice to come in and do something. To me, with Rashee Rice, you looked at him. He was this record-breaking phenom for SMU. And he broke all of the SMU records and just left all those Cortland Sutton and Prochet and Emmanuel Sanders and Aldrick Robinson and all these dudes completely in the dust. Danny Gray leaves them all in the dust. And then he gets to the Senior Bowl. You're like, well, really? That guy? And I think it goes to show what a good crop of defensive backs they're worth the Senior Bowl this year. And we saw that come to fruition with how many were picked through the first and second rounds of the NFL draft.
And some of these guys just, you know, some of these guys are just gamers. They don't really show up until they're in the game. And Rashee, I mean, he had some decent measurables at the combine, 41-inch vertical. That's pretty impressive.
Sneaky. I mean, the Rashee Rice thing was not sneaky. That's the blaring deal. And people are going to be looking at him now at the turn, maybe even a little bit earlier than the turn in these dynasty rookie drafts. Because, yeah, you're right, trash man. 95th percentile vertical jump, 86th percentile broad. The 40-yard dash was only 4.51, but his 10-yard split – Jesus, his 10-yard split was 1.49, which is 93rd percentile.
Wow.
So that's like that shows acceleration, that shows burst, that shows a lot of stuff we didn't really see in Mobile.
Yeah.
We didn't see much of it. Maybe he just needed a few more days to get in the groove or something. So
maybe that humidity got to him.
Rashee Rice, somebody who
southern humidity.
I'll have to think about. Do you have a thought on in rookie drafts of Rashee Rice versus Jaden Reed, who was just an absolute mega throbber of an all-star at the Senior Bowl?
I mean, I feel like
they Jaden both Reed go day two. They
faces more real competition, especially in the red zone, than someone like a Rice.
Yeah, but but Jaden Reed's better.
He's better, but I mean, Christian Watson
is
really good.
In Dynasty, shouldn't we factor in just the guy who's just better?
Yes, but you should also consider, you know, whose quarterback is better, whose offense is better.
Okay. But these two need to be back to back.
That's fair.
They need to be back to back at the very least. I'm going to make a note of that. Back to back for these guys. But you like them both better than Jonathan Mingo in Carolina.
He's right up there.
Well, yeah, he is. That's what I'm saying. These aren't easy decisions.
I mean, sight unseen, yes.
Okay.
Just, I mean, based on the situation and the quarterbacks.
Isaiah Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco, sneaky winner.
Yeah.
He keeps just flying under the damn radar. He's going to be their lead back. It's like seventh round pick. Who they bring in? They brought in Denarik Prince, who Byron really loved out of Tulsa from the Shrine game. Okay. Finally, one left in the AFC West, right? It's the Chargers. Quentin Johnston goes with the first pick. He was actually the second wide receiver taken off the board, which
just as I thought,
just as Trash Man figured. They took both of the TCU guys. They took Darius Davis too in the fourth round, and I thought
Davis, who I liked at the Senior Bowl, I thought he was pretty decent.
Yeah, strong and stout too, stronger than you would think. I mean, he did like 16 reps of the bench press at that TCU Pro Day. But they just, I mean, on special teams, they just needed so much speed. They would have these just super, super slow, like guys like last year, who was it? Carter,
DeAndre Carter.
DeAndre Carter. They would have him returning punts and kicks and stuff.
Yeah.
Like what, like, is this, what's like, fuck, is this the fastest guy on your team? Like, Jesus, you have to put like Eckler or something back there. If this is all you got, this is wild. I think Quentin Johnston, I mean, automatically, I mean, clearly, this is just a Josh Palmer wrecker, right? It's just an absolute wrecking ball. They didn't go, I don't have it pulled up, but I don't think they went. Yeah, so no more running backs. They took Max Duggan at the very end. I mean, I think this just means Austin Eckler, you're going to have to put on a damn helmet and play football. It's like, quit your complaining. We're not paying you. No one's going to trade for you to pay you a bunch of extra money and pick up that contract. It's good for him, good for Isaiah Spiller, good for all the kind of backup running backs, good for Justin Herbert. I don't know how productive in his first year that Quentin Johnston is going to. I mean, do you see Quentin Johnston coming in and being an immediate –
Yeah.
An immediate factor?
Yeah.
Even more so than Jordan Addison with Minnesota?
No, not more than Jordan Addison. Well, I mean, maybe in the red zone.
What about more than Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's also coming into like a number three wide receiver?
I think he very well could be. And that was one of the issues with ranking Jackson Smith and Jigba ahead of him for me. It was kind of a terrible landing spot for Jackson, but – But yeah, I think Quentin's going to be an immediate fantasy asset.
Like, you could put him in your fantasy lineup in the flex week one of redraft next season.
Why not?